Episode 140.
What if Tolkien and Lewis wrote together?
What?
Sorry. Do we need to do that again?
Nah.
Oh, no. Keep it. It's just a little unscripted moment that came to me.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we are back.
We are the Tolkien and Lewis of America.
I'm Lewis.
I'm Tolkien.
That's actually true. Between the two of us, those are our preferences.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know what would be an awesome time loop episode?
The Tolkien-Lewis Smackdown.
I would have done it if we hadn't just released one. I can't do like 2-4 apart.
Yeah.
Maybe you're good.
No.
Nah. No. Maybe later this month?
Maybe. We could do another Tolkien-Lewis episode.
Let's think about that.
Yeah.
Like, because you mentioned the last episode, you liked them in conjunction.
Yeah.
Okay, let's think about another Tolkien-Lewis episode. That's a good idea. Also, from the last episode, I did not address during listener feedback the modal ontological argument.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm going to right now.
No, people just Google it.
Yeah, so sorry about that to our listener whose name was Jordan, I think, that wrote about that one.
No, that wasn't Jordan.
Maybe Andrew?
No, it wasn't Andrew.
Sorry, listener.
We can't remember your name.
Today is a big day because...
Oh, that's all big days.
Because we are going to... finally reveal the three winners, and they are at third place, second place, first place, so somebody is the best.
Yes.
And we're going to just call them out. I mean, not call them out. We're going to show...
congratulate them.
Yeah, congratulate them. So we had a lot of entries into this contest, which basically, just to give you a quick rundown, somebody had to send in 75 words or less what they think a story would be, a good version of a story, if Tolkien and Lewis had ever wrote fiction together.
Yes.
And so... we should give a huge shout out of thanks to two people, and if you think of anybody else, let me know.
Okay.
Number one, Mike Poteet from the SciFiChristian.com.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a fan.
He came up with this entire idea and reached out to the author, whose name is Sarah Arthur. Is that correct, Ben?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Let's see.
I know it is Sarah Arthur. I know. I'm just kidding. I was testing you.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I used to work at a bookstore. I sold her books sometimes.
Yeah.
That's good. So number one, Mike Poteet. Number two, Sarah Pfeffer,
yes,
who is an editor for the Sci-Fi Christian. She reads a lot of our articles before we post them live, and she was the reviewer of these stories. Is that correct, Ben?
That is correct. She was the judge.
I wonder if we should have not said that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, Sarah. Well, anyways, good.
You get hate mail. It's Matt's fault.
I'll ask her before I post this.
Why? Well, she wants the judge.
What if it's what if she doesn't want to be responsible for who's the winner and the loser?
Well, she shouldn't have judged.
Okay. So thank you, Sarah, for all your help. We couldn't have done it without you. Anybody else that we should thank?
Did we thank Sarah Arthur, or did we just mention her?
Oh, number three. Congrats. Let's thank Sarah Arthur,
yeah,
who is the author that provided us with the books. And actually,
you haven't opened them.
She mailed them straight from her own home, like to me.
To Ryan Strela Studios.
And here's her address. Yeah. Sarah Arthur at... No.
That's awesome.
Just kidding.
Cool. You really do have her address.
Yeah, so I'll mail her back a little Sci-Fi Christian t-shirt.
Yeah. We don't have those.
We should get some t-shirts.
We should.
So later on the show, when it's time to announce the winners, I'm going to open this package live, because I've never opened... See, tell everybody, Ben.
It's unopened.
Unopened, and feel it. There's three books inside there.
Oh, yeah, because I was wondering, what if we open it up and it's like dirty socks or something like that?
Well, that would be a surprise. So what we're going to do is we'll open it. I'll open it, and then you reach in and grab the book.
Okay.
We're not going to let them pick which book they get, because can you read the three choices?
There is Walking with Frodo,
a devotional
journey through Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Walking with Bilbo, a devotional adventure through The Hobbit. Walking through the Wardrobe, a devotional quest through The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Technically speaking, we probably should let the first place winner choose which book,
no,
but on the show, we're going to have Ben DiBono stick his hand into this package and pull out a random book.
Now, if these are not, in fact, the books...
That would be awesome.
We will give you something from Matt Anderson's bookshelf.
They are the books. They have to be.
They are books.
Oh, I think she signed them and everything.
Psyched us out.
Well, we'll check it out when we get to that. Yeah. So, is there anything else you want to talk about before we just go right to it and start announcing these winners?
I don't think so. I think, the world's been waiting for this ever since Tolkien and Lewis died.
Do you think the world is also waiting for our stories? Because on this episode...
We're going to throw some in.
On this episode, we're going to read five short descriptions, three of the listeners and two from Ben and Matt.
Yeah, so how about that?
Ooh, 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 ooh. And Ben, just for fun, since we are counting down from the top three, top two, top one. Oh, yeah, we definitely should
start at the bottom.
Want to just do this?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Countdown
on the Sci-Fi Christian.
All right, Ben. How do you want to do this? Do you want to read number three and I'll read number two? And we'll just kind of go like that.
Okay. And we could read number one together?
Yeah.
Sorry, number one. You did win. But we're going to butcher your story.
All right. And number three.
Number three is written by Matthew Loudon. I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
Congratulations, Matthew.
All right. Another Matt. Always like that. It is the golden age of Narnia, and the Pevensey rulers have heard disturbing news. A ship of unknown origin has arrived just beyond the Lone Islands. They investigate, soon discovering a ship filled with powerful, wise beings and a pair of strange creatures. Hobbits. The Pevensey swear to help these champions of good find their way to their eternal reward, all set sail for the Undying Lands, guided by the visions of Aslan.
Hey, pretty good. So they tie in both the stories.
Yeah.
So it looks like at the end of Lord of the Rings, we see some people take off on a boat.
Yeah.
It looks like they end up here close to the Emperor of... What's Aslan's dad's called?
The Emperor Beyond the Sea.
Emperor Beyond the Sea. So what do you think of that?
Oh, well, you know how I feel about things like crossover. So I would not be for this novel.
What? I'm totally for it.
No. I mean, it's well written, so good entry, Matthew. But I'm personally glad this novel was not written.
Wow. So you are against a Middle-earth Narnia crossover.
Yes.
Wow.
Against it.
That's unbelievable.
So if it's going to happen, I like Matthew's approach to it.
But good. Yeah, I think that's a great number three. So good job, Matthew.
Yeah.
Number two. That's me. Sorry.
Yeah, give it to me. Number two.
Number two, coming to us from Rick Lee James.
All right.
He is from the Voices in My Head podcast. You can find it at rickleejames.com. He also just released his album/DVD, Basement Psalms.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Here's what Rick says. The young cub Aslan suspects he was different from other lions. One day in the Elvish woods, he hears a musician chanting the holy music of Ainur.
Of the Ainur.
What's the Ainur?
It's people from the Silmarillion.
Oh. Aslan soon discovers that this singer, the singer is none other than...
Eru Iluvatar.
The supreme being. The mystery deepens as Aslan discovers that not only is...
Eru Iluvatar.
His biological father, but that the two of them are in fact the same being.
A little Trinitarian action there.
So who is this person that you keep saying the name of?
He's like God.
He's God in Middle Earth?
Yeah.
And he's also the Emperor Beyond the Seas?
That's what I think Rick is implying.
Whoa, so another
crossover. No!
Well, here's the thing. I was just thinking about this. You're saying you're against crossovers?
I am.
But the contest was to think of Tolkien and Lewis together, and so it does kind of make sense. I mean, you could literally say any story and then say, yeah, Lewis and Tolkien should have done it together. But a crossover kind of makes sense in this contest because what we're asking is those specific authors, what would they do?
Well, you just got to wait to hear what my entry is.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Well, I think we should together read number one from
Aaron Rainey.
Aaron Rainey!
Woo! Author, co-author of Flight of the Angels.
Flight of the Angels. And both you and I are you reading that or just me?
I have it on my Kindle, but I have not read it.
All right, just me reading it currently.
Oh.
So, how about if I read all of the words except
for the hard... I thought we were going to read it simultaneously.
Well, I'll read all the ones except for the hard ones.
Okay.
Okay. Seven children awake in...
Catesis.
A land with two...
Languages.
A common tongue and a hidden tongue.
Tongue.
With creative power. No, you have to wait until you have to wait until I pause.
Okay.
A dark lord has...
Forbidden.
The hidden language... Using it himself to
enslave
the people. A gentle gray
wanderer
teaches the children the
language
before he is caught and executed. That children then teach the
language
of the people of
Catesis, empowering them
to rise up and make war against the evil in their land. I don't think we did that justice. You should read it.
Okay. Yeah, I realized halfway through I had no idea what.
Hey, did we discuss Rick's well enough besides just defending We defended crossovers, but good job, Rick.
Yeah, I like
Rick. I like the Trinitarian father-son aspect, especially since cool. I didn't grow up with a father. Thanks for reminding me, Rick.
Yeah,
Okay, Ben, read Aaron's one more time.
Seven children awake in Catesis, a land with two languages, a common tongue and a hidden tongue with creative power. A dark lord has forbidden the hidden language, using it himself to enslave the people. A gentle gray wanderer teaches the children the language before he is caught and executed. The children then teach the language to the people of Catesis, empowering them to rise up and make war against the evil in their land.
Wow. Do you think the gentle gray wanderer is Gandalf the Gray?
I don't know.
Or the white?
It could be.
This is like...
That'd be a cool novel.
I feel like this is pretty good world building in 75 words or less.
Yeah, maybe that'll be the sequel to Flight of the Angels.
I wondered if he would put out an idea he kind of already had, but I bet he wouldn't, because he probably wants to save that for himself. Nobody steal any of these ideas.
Yeah.
Except for Rick's. You can steal Rick's.
I don't think you... Well, you could steal Rick's and Matthew's, because I'm pretty sure that you would get nailed for copyright violation.
But not Aaron's. Aaron's is original.
Yes. You could get by with that one.
So, Aaron...
If you're going to plagiarize someone here, plagiarize Aaron.
So, good job, Aaron. So now, let's go to the presentation of the presents. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit while I cut this.
Okay, so Matt has the scissors. Chop, 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 chop. And the scissors have done their job.
All right, Ben. And so, do you want the first book you draw to be Aaron's or Matthew's?
Oh, man. I think it should be Aaron's, because he should have a shot at all three.
Okay.
All right.
So just reach in there and pick out the first book.
Aaron Rainey, you're getting Walking Through the Wardrobe, a devotional quest into the lion.
There's a post-it note in the back.
In the wardrobe.
What does it say?
For the winners of the sci-fi blog contest, enjoy, smiley face, essay.
Oh, sir. Now, does she sign it?
Let's check the opening. Oh, and there's a bookmark you get.
Oh,
further up and further in, Sarah Arthur.
Nice. So that is for Aaron. Congratulations, Aaron.
Yeah.
And let's keep that post-it note on him there too. That he gets the post-it note and everything.
Yeah, so you can see your own handwriting. Yeah. Well, I guess everybody can.
And this one is for Rick then.
All right, Rick, you get Walking with Frodo, a devotional journey.
Any post-it note for him?
No post-it note.
Oh, well, we picked the right one for Aaron.
But another bookmark, Never Give Up, smiley face. Sarah Arthur.
Thank you, Sarah. Oh. This is great. And finally, what could it be for Matthew? Reach in there.
It is Walking with Bilbo, a devotional adventure through the Hobbit. Again, bookmark. Never look back, smiley face. Sarah Arthur.
I like it. So she did a little personalization to each of those books.
Yes.
I like it.
Thank you, Sarah Arthur.
Thank you very much, Sarah Arthur. So go check her out. Sarah Arthur, you can buy her books on Amazon as well as other places online or your local bookstore, which I know personally because I've seen them and sold them.
Whoa.
So, and also, great job to all of the people that submitted their stories. We really appreciate it. I'm sure our Sarah had a fun time reading through all the stories. Yeah. And congratulations to Aaron, Rick, Matthew. You guys earned it.
Yes. Well done, everyone.
And now, without further ado, we're going to another main topic.
Oh, wow.
Ben, do you want to go first or should I?
You should go first.
I should totally go first because you're going to hate mine.
Is it a crossover?
I'm not telling you. You've got me all scared now.
Uh-oh. Well, I mean about everything. So just, you know, it's okay.
Mine's not 75 words or less. I didn't count.
No, I went way over on mine.
Here it is. My story is called The Wood Between the Worlds.
What?
Yeah.
That's like an actual title from one of the chapters.
It's a chapter title.
So you just take 75 words from one of the Narnia chapters and reprint it here as your own?
Listen.
Okay.
Ben.
Okay. We're off to a great start here.
I just used a chapter title.
Okay.
Okay. Here it is. The children of Polly Plummer Groves. Now, you might remember Plummer was her maiden name, but she got married.
Yep.
The children of Polly Plummer Groves, their names are Matthias and Andrew. Nope. Andrea. It's a guy and a girl. Matthias and Andrea. You see what's happening there?
Yeah.
Matthias and Andrea are magically transported to the Wood Between the Worlds after traveling down a magic well. The Wood Between the Worlds is a realm with multiple gateways to various other worlds. The children discover a portal to a place called Middle Earth, where they are unexpectedly tasked with a special mission. Joining them in their mission are Alatar and Palando, the fabled the fabled blue wizards of Middle-earth.
Very nice.
Completing their mission is just one step in trying to help bring an end to the bloody elven civil war that has been taking place in the distant east of Middle-earth.
Middle-earth.
But why are the elves caught up in this battle? And has there been an evil mastermind orchestrating all of these events? If the Grove's children and the blue wizards are unable to end this war, Middle-earth could very well see the return of a dark ruler. The wood between the worlds could be the only way to access the one person that could bring goodness and light back to Middle-earth.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I haven't wrote the story yet. That's just a synopsis.
How does one discover a magic well?
You have to read chapter 2.
They just fall down into the well?
No, that's not how it happens in my story.
Okay.
I'm not going to spoil it.
I mean, it just seems like that's a rather dangerous expedition. Children don't play by wells.
They were playing by a well. And they somehow, they were lowering themselves down carefully. But guess what?
I don't think that's possible.
No, they're in a bucket. And on a rope. A big bucket.
Okay.
And so, it was actually, Matthias was lowering Andrea. Cause she,
what do you want to do today, Andrea?
No, she lost a bet.
Let's play lower the bucket.
She lost a bet.
Okay.
And so Andrea's being lowered down slowly. But once she entered the water, something magical happened.
Yeah.
And she realized, wait, lower me further. And then.
Under the water.
But guess what? As she went under the water, it wasn't underwater. It was in a world.
Yeah.
But then she's like, I'm going in. So she goes in. Then she comes back because she has the rope, right? And so she's like, hey, come in here. So they leave the rope and the bucket as their way to find their way back to our Earth.
That's
why that's important. Because when they get to the world, there's tons of these portals, these puddles.
And they all kind of look the same.
They all kind of look the same. So how are they going to find their way home? Guess what? The bucket and the rope. Yeah. That's how.
Yeah.
But then, when they get to Middle Earth, all the bad things hit the fan.
Yeah. I enjoyed your story.
Yeah. So what do you think about the blue elves?
Blue elves? You mean the blue wizards?
Blue wizards.
Yeah, well, that'd be interesting to see, because they never really showed up.
How awesome would it be if the elves were in a civil war? But,
yeah, the elves didn't go east like that.
No, they didn't. You are thinking in what you know, but look past that into the future.
Okay. You know, Tolkien did sketch the whole history of the elves.
I know, but he sketch their future?
Yeah, they all left Middle Earth at the end of Lord of the Rings.
Not these ones.
The stragglers.
Not these ones, man. So who do you think the one person is that they have to get to?
Oh, probably Aslan.
It seems like it. That's kind of what I thought, but sometimes stories write themselves.
Yes, they do.
I'll take yours, Ben.
Well, I thought about this, and I realized this would never happen.
Lewis and Tolkien would never. Is that your way of saying I did no show prep?
On the contrary, I have a drama for us to perform.
No, you're kidding.
To explain why this would never happen. So you're going to play C.S. Lewis, and I'm going to play Tolkien.
All right.
Okay.
I'm literally reading this for the first time. Yes. I did not know this is what was going to happen.
Okay.
All right.
Ready?
Hold on. Let me.
You're Lewis.
I want to go to our transition music.
Okay.
Here we go.
Good morning, Jack.
JR, I have wonderful news.
I've told you 100 times, don't call me JR.
Never mind that, JR.
My name is John Ronald Real Tolkien. You may call me Ronald. You may call me John. You may not call me JR.
I finished the outline.
You've what?
For our book.
Oh, the book. I'd completely forgotten. Oh, my good sir. Bring it here. Bring it here.
I'm positive you'll love it.
Well, let's see here. We have a dragon. That's good.
A fire breather.
We have some talking animals. I suppose that's all right.
Of course it is. Can't have a proper fantasy novel without talking animals.
If you say so. I say, Jack, though, what's this bit in here where the hero dies and comes back to life?
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Yes. Well, you see, it strikes me as being a bit similar to that other thing you wrote. What was it called? Nornons?
It's called Narnia. As you well know.
Jack, is this allegory?
Allegory? Of course not.
Because it certainly seems like allegory to me.
Well, it isn't. It's called suppositionalism.
And what, pray tell, is suppositionalism?
Well, you see, what I do is I take elements of things I want to fit into the story, like the resurrection, for instance, and I find a way to have our story tell the same Bible story, only with dragons and animals in place of humans.
But Gandalf's beard, man, that's allegory!
It is not!
Just because you invent a new word for something doesn't mean that you change what the thing is!
But, you see...
And speaking of words, I don't see anything hidden here about the languages.
What languages?
Our languages, you oaf!
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that.
Well?
The thing is, putting made-up languages in the book seems a little bit pretentious.
What?
It's just kind of distracting when a character starts speaking in Elfric mid-sentence.
It's called Elvish, for Frodo's sake! And your point is nonsense! Lord of the Rings was full of languages!
Yeah, well, I was kind of meaning to talk to you about that, too.
But you love Lord of the Rings!
Oh, I do. It's just that...
Yes?
It does drag in a few places.
Nonsense! A bit of Elvish does nothing of the sort.
To be honest, it's not just the Elvish.
There's more!
The walking scenes do drag on a bit.
But...
And that part where they stop by Tom Bombadil's place. Holy crap, that dragged on forever.
You are an ignorant fool, Clive Lewis. Just because some of us are capable of writing more than just allegorical nursery rhymes does not give you cause to criticize my masterpiece.
They're not allegories, they're...
Yes, yes, subtractionalist.
Suppositional.
Whatever! Now, as for the outline, it's rubbish. You'll need to try again.
Not a chance. That thing is note perfect.
You must be joking. I wipe my bum with better material than this.
You've never seen better material than this.
Jack, I do not know what your fans see in you, but I, for one, am blind to it. Now be a good chap and pass me the tobacco bowl. I'm off to the Eagle and the Child for a pint. Feel free not to join me.
Wow.
So that is why the book would never take place.
So it could never happen.
Could never happen.
Wow. You know, but they were trying to do nonfiction together. So that's interesting.
But yeah, fiction book. Never could have happened. So did you enjoy the drama?
I actually did. That was great. I really liked that drama.
Quite intense.
You did more show prep than I anticipated.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Do you think that CS was in charge of naming him JR?
I don't know. Yeah, it seemed a little annoyed. But, you know, C.S. Lewis's nickname was Jack, so there's a little historical accuracy in there for you.
Oh, no, definitely.
And the Eagle and the Child, the pub where the Inklings would meet at. So.
And he did like tobacco, as you do.
Yes, so a little trivia.
Wow. In there.
Now, I made a concession for you, because when I originally conceived of this, I envisioned it as a profanity-filled rant from J.R.R. Tolkien to C.S. Lewis.
I really appreciate that.
To help you not edit, I substituted Lord of the Rings profanities.
Wow.
By Gandalf's beard.
I do like that's even better.
It is, yes.
Wow, Ben. I mean, I would, if you had sent that in,
yeah,
I think you would have won.
It was like 500 words, though, so.
Yeah, it would have been disqualified, but
yeah,
that was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
So compare that to the other three. Who do you think is best, you or the three other people?
Oh, well, me. You know why?
Well, I mean, I think that some people might disagree with this, but I think you might think that.
I'm right.
Ben is right.
I am right.
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
I am right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
All of you who have disagreed with me, get in line, because it's apology time. It's Sci-Fi Christian story time.
All right, Ben.
Yeah, that's one of our shortest episodes ever.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Okay. I don't think when we made the plan to make this an episode that we realized it was going to be like 20 minutes long.
That's okay. I'm exhausted from this last week.
Okay.
So I'm okay with that.
So you do have a story time, though.
I do have a story time. So Easter Vigil night, Saturday night. The vigil started quite late, as you well know.
I was there.
Yes, so it started at 8 p.m. And we had family coming out. So, you know, my wife and I, you know, we've been pretty busy, especially this last week with Holy Week and everything. And so we thought, you know, let's try and see if maybe your mom, that's what I said to my wife, your mom can come out a little early, watch the kids, and we can go grab some dinner before the Easter Vigil. So we did that, and my mother-in-law was able to come out, and so she watched the kids. And we planned to go to Outback Steakhouse. Have you ever been to Outback Steakhouse?
You know, I haven't.
Oh, it is quite
good. I don't really like steak.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Go ahead, though.
Oh, that disappoints me a little.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no steak, no beer, no pipes?
What do you like?
So Annie and I, that's my wife, were talking in the morning, and I said, I think we should call ahead just to be sure. She's like, no, we don't need to call ahead. We're going to get there way early because we're going to have an early dinner, even though, you know, it was such a late service. We had to get the kids ready and, you know, get ourselves ready and everything. So we were going to get there at like 4:45, 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I don't know. They get busy on Saturdays and, you know, holiday weekends. I think we should call. She's like, I'm not going to call. If you want to call, you call. So I was like, okay, I'll call. So I did.
Yeah,
got the reservation for 4:45, and we get there, and the parking lot is just packed. And we've been there enough times where, like, when the parking lot's packed, you know it's going to be crowded in there. So instantly, I pull out my phone.
No, you did not.
And I fire this up.
You're going to play the whole thing again?
That is right.
You just played it.
I am.
So
right.
How did you react when you were playing?
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
So tell me, right. So did she think it was funny?
Right.
Ben is right. We gotta hear the whole thing.
We just heard it. Did she think it was funny?
Yeah, she'd heard it before.
Oh, okay. Did she hear it when you're editing it the first time?
No, I played it for her.
I do love that song.
It is great.
It is a little long.
So
it does drag in some bits.
What? Some important parts. So I Ben is righted my wife. So it's useful not only on the show, but in practical everyday experience.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Ben, since this is a little bit faster episode, I want to hit one more thing.
Okay.
All right. So, as you know, we're recording this on April 1st, April Fool's Day. And the OneRing.net posted something this morning that freaked you out.
It did.
And so it does tie in with our main episode. So I thought I would just read this press release. The OneRing.net, as you probably know, is for fans of J.R.R. Tolkien. Here's what they wrote. A news release. Let's see. Yes. Global leader in high-quality family entertainment agrees to acquire world-renowned Middle-earth enterprises, including The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit franchises. The press release is, Disney has acquired the Middle-earth enterprises. And when you read that, and they photoshopped a picture... Obviously, this is an April Fool's joke. This is not for real.
Yes.
They photoshopped a picture of Bob Iger from Disney signing a contract with Christopher Tolkien. And go ahead. You said that when you first read this.
You know, there was a moment where it was just like, no. 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 This can't be happening. And then I remember what day it was and promptly recovered.
So, okay, let's just really talk this through. What if, because I started to think about this. Disney's on a purchasing spree. What if they get Middle Earth? What if they get Lord of the Rings? What if they get Hobbit?
Won't happen as long as Christopher Tolkien's alive. I suppose they could get the film. I mean, they could get the rights to Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit. They can't get anything beyond that. So anything else set in Middle Earth they couldn't do. Most they could do is a remake right now.
What if he says, though, I'll sell everything? Just say he does it. Would you like that?
No, that would be terrible.
But one company that would have the rights to all of his work.
Doesn't matter.
Would you? Okay, what if it was a different company than Disney?
I don't know. I guess it depends on what the plan was going to be. If they're going to say, you know, we're going to do a series of films or a TV series based on the Silmarillion and we're going to be respectful and do a good job, I'd be on board with that. But if it was going to be, we're going to do additional Middle-earth movies, you know, Lord of the Rings 2, I would be so against that. That we just have to have a show called I'm Against It, and I would sit here and tell you I'm against it for 2 hours straight.
Okay, so this is April Fool's. It was an April Fool's joke, but if it was ever true, you would still be against it.
Yes.
All right.
So Brandon Gibbs, moments ago, just posted on our Facebook page a link to a trailer for a documentary called Bronies.
Oh, next week's episode?
The Extremely Unexpected Adult Fans of My Little Pony. Should we check out this documentary?
Should we do an episode next week? Our first ever Bronies episode?
No, we're not going
to. Well, how about this? Let's watch the documentary, see if it's worthwhile.
Okay.
And then, if it is, that's our episode next week. And if it's not, then we'll just do something else.
Okay.
Well, speaking of Bronies, I was going to read this in the last episode, but, I mean, you're continuing this for no reason. We're just going to keep talking. Let's go. Michael Poteet wrote on thescifichristian.com. He was responding to our last week's news episode about Batman 1966.
Yeah.
And he said, Ben, what the heck kind of website were you reading your My Little Pony news from that starts the article by defining the internet? Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And why are you so threatened by My Little Pony anyway? Me thinks thou dost protest too much.
Oh, man. Well, I think the definition of the internet was a little bit satirical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some things just need to be protested, Mike.
Here's what Mike says. By the way, I tried reading the current issue. This is a comic book of the My Little Pony comic to my 5-year-old daughter.
Okay, that's better.
But made the mistake of reading the evil witch character too much in character, I guess, because now she's convinced the show is too scary.
Well done, Mike.
So there's an evil witch. I didn't even know. I thought they were all ponies.
I think the witch is a pony, too. My daughter watches the show.
Oh, the truth comes out. The Bono household supports My Little Ponies.
For children.
Oh, my gosh.
For children.
All this time, you've been
I have never watched an episode. I've never watched an episode.
Wow.
I never will.
We have to end it right there because that's breaking news.
That's not breaking news. I have a 4-year-old daughter.
If you'd like to call in your feedback, you can write it.
She's the target audience, not grown men.
You can call us at 612-4121-SFC.
Feedback@thescifichristian.com.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I am Ben DiBono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Goodbye.
Signing off. Ben DiBono is the target audience.
It's not the target audience. This is garbage. It's lies. It's filthy lies.
It's a trap.
So, a little bonus content here.
Oh, wow.
I had a dream about you last night.
How'd it go?
Well, you know, you're getting married.
I am.
And that means something very sad.
Why?
In addition to many happy things, it means you and Ryan Strela will soon be parted.
That's right.
I had a dream that he moved in with you and Dez to your new apartment.
It's possible. Who knows?
So that you two could stay together.
Anything could happen on the Sci-Fi Christian.
And I was excited because it just meant that we could still have Ryan Strela Studios.
Well, studio. Yeah, we will have to think of a good name for the next studio. Yeah, so,
Matt, will that dream come true?
I would let Ryan live with us if he needed a place to stay.
What if he just wanted a place to stay?
That might be frowned upon.
He just kind of wanted to move into your spare bedroom.
Yeah, I don't think I'd say that. I don't think I'd be okay with that. So if you just wanted to permanently live.
Coming 2013. Matt, Dez.
And Ryan Strela.
The Andersons and Ryan live together all in one roof. So that was quite a dream.
Well, I wish I had like a sound clip to play that I don't.
Yeah. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.